This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or genuine, sincere, that means genuine, sincere, faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded, Timothy, it's in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I cannot, you never said I could, you can, you always said you would. I believe in the Holy Spirit, God. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock praying, Jesus. I continue to pray and ask you to manifest yourself in this service. God, I believe you're wanting to do some things, and certainly we're receptive to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, we love you, we thank you, we exalt you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name until you come. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you in this Game Time series about coaches really do matter. Coaches really do matter. Lou Holtz was the great coach of Notre Dame, and he made this statement. Lou Holtz said, you've got to have great athletes to win. You've got to have great athletes to win. He said, I don't care who the coach is. And by the way, that's true, folks. You've got to have great athletes to win. Amen? I've never known a jockey to drag the horse across the finish line. Amen? You've got to have the horse. He said, you can't win without good athletes, but you can lose with them. That's where coaching makes the difference. The Harris School of Public Policy said that coaching accounts for 20 to 30% of the results of the outcome of a game. Auburn had a coach who coached Auburn for 24 years. His name was Shug Jordan. Shug would have been a contemporary of Paul Bear Bryant. And Shug Jordan had some assistants, and he was training his assistants in the type of players that he wanted. And Coach Jordan said to his assistant, he said, you know, this is the type of guys we want to recruit. He said, you know, you knock a player down and he stays down. And Coach Jordan said, we don't want him. We sure don't want him. And then he said, well, there's the player that you knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down, and then he stays down. And the recruiter said, we don't want him, do we, Coach? He said, no, we don't want him. And then Coach Jordan said, now there's the player that you knock him down, he gets back up. 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 And the recruiter said, Coach, that's the guy we want. That's the guy we want. He said, no. We want the guy who's knocking him down. We want the guy who's knocking him down. Amen? Coaching really does matter. You know, Rick Pitino, the basketball coach, I read a book by him years ago called One Day Contract. It's a good book. It's where I get the line, meaningful distractions. But Rick Pitino said, in any field in life, whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like you're supposed to do in life, he said, if you'll find five people that have been successful in that field and just study their lives and study why they're successful, that you will be successful. As I've said, just get your pail under their well And I've thought about this whole deal of coaching. But Jesus was a coach. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? See, many times, folks, we think of Jesus as he was the Billy Graham crusade speaker, but he really wasn't. Jesus poured his life into 12 men, primarily three men. There was three men that he primarily coached, Peter, James, and John, and they turned the world upside down because he was a coach. There was a lady in the Bible. Her name was Naomi. She was a coach. She coached a lady by the name of Ruth in the Bible. Moses was a coach. See, many times, folks, we say Moses led the children of Israel into the promised land, but Moses didn't lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It was Joshua who led the children of Israel into the promised land. What did Moses do? Moses coached Joshua. Moses raised up Joshua. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. But I want you to know something. Joshua never raised up a Joshua, and Israel got in big trouble. See, Elijah, he coached Elijah. Here's what I want you to understand. Every spiritual progression in your life, every spiritual progression in your life or in my life can always be traced to a person. Every progression, ladies and gentlemen, every time that you were lifted spiritually, I will promise you it will be traced to a person. That's why coaching, ladies and gentlemen, really does matter. Now, Paul was a coach, and Paul went on his first missionary journey to a place called Lystra. And he led a young boy who really didn't have a daddy. His dad was a pagan Greek. He had no male role model figure in his life. And Paul led a young boy to the Lord. His name was Timothy. And Timothy later became a great man of God. He became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And Paul wrote two personal letters, ladies and gentlemen. When you read, when you look and you see 1 Timothy in your Bible and you see 2 Timothy in your Bible, you say, Pastor, explain to me what that is. I'll be glad to. It's simply personal letters that Paul was writing to Timothy. And it gives the criterion for what the structure of the church really ought to be. Paul coached Timothy. The greatest coach ever, other than Jesus, was Paul. And what I want us to do today, I want us to look at how Paul coached Timothy and see what we can learn from his coaching pattern. There's six or seven things I want you to get right quick. I'll move as fast as I can. The first thing I want you to see is this. Paul was transparent with Timothy. Paul was transparent with Timothy. See, if you look in the scripture, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13, he said, Timothy, I just want you to know something. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I did a whole lot of wrong. I mean, literally, there was a lot wrong in my life. I did a lot wrong. And he gets down to verse 15 and he said, by the way, they were a lot of sinners. But he said, I wasn't the Indian. I was the chief of sinners. What was he doing? He was being very transparent. See, I think sometimes we think, Pastor, I can't be a mentor. I couldn't help nobody. I couldn't coach nobody. I've been through divorces. Pastor, I've had addictions. Pastor, I've had bankruptcy. I've got so many skeletons. Everybody knows about my past. So I really couldn't be a coach. Well, folks, maybe that enables you to be a greater coach. Maybe that enables you to be a greater coach. Because maybe God wants to take everything you've been through and God wants to turn around and God wants to use that to help people. You know what I've learned about God, folks? I've been following Him all these years. And I've learned that God uses the unlikely. God uses the unlikely. You say, Pastor Benny, in your family, are there preachers? There's no family. There's no preachers in my family. I mean, my family put the funk in dysfunctional. I mean, there's none. But what I never aspired to do this, but I can tell you this, what I know, God uses the unlikely. See, Moses was a murderer. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Jacob was a deceiver. Samson was a womanizer. Jonah ran from God. Abraham was a liar. Peter was a coward. Saul was a persecutor. And Noah had a tendency to get drunk. Why does God use people that have messed up? Because there's not any other type. And you get this. If you want to impress people, you just talk about your successes. But if you want to impact people, you talk about your failures. If you want to impress people, just keep talking about your successes. But if you want to impact people, you talk about the struggles and failures and the hardships and how the Lord has helped you through it. And ladies and gentlemen, you will impact people. Let me tell you, Paul, the greatest coach, he was just transparent with Timothy. Let me tell you something else about Paul and Timothy. Paul let Timothy know that he loved him. Look what the scripture says. 2 Timothy 1 and 2, my dearly beloved son. The word beloved there is the word agape. It's the word, agape is the word for the deepest expression. It's the strongest word in the Greek language for love. See, I was raised by two stepfathers. One said I was ignorant, illegitimate, stupid, never would amount to anything. The other one paid my way through Bible college. But what I didn't tell you, the other one was firm with me too. But what was the difference? I believed he loved me. See, folks, let me tell you something. You can be constructive in people's lives if they believe you love them. One of my heroes of the faith and football was a coach by the name of Mark Richt. Mark Richt said that in 2015, Georgia was playing Missouri, and he said the game was tied up 6-6, and he said, we had an opportunity to win the ball game, but we had to hit a field goal. And he said, you know, my field goal kicker, Marshall Morgan, he'd already missed one that day. And he said, I knew he was down. He was going through a tough time. But it came time for the field goal, and Marshall Morgan came up, and he hit the field goal, and Georgia won the game. After the game was over, a reporter asked Coach Richt, they said, Coach, you put your hands on that boy's shoulders. You looked into that boy's eyes. When you put your hands on that boy's shoulders, you looked into his eyes. What did you actually say to him? He said, here's what I said to him. Marshall, I want you to know something. Whether you hit the field goal or whether you miss the field goal, when you get back, I'm still going to love you. Whether you hit the field goal or whether you miss the field goal, when you get back, I want you to know I'm still going to love you. Let me tell you something, folks. You want to impact people? Paul let Timothy know that he loved him. Let me tell you something else. Paul let Timothy know that he prayed for him. You said, Brother Benny, it's good to pray for people. Yes, it's good to pray for them. But according to 2 Timothy 1 and 3, it's good to let them know that we're praying for them. He said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. He said, night and day, I'm praying for you. Joe Kennedy, a coach in Washington State, in 2008 started doing something. At the end of the ball game, he would go to the 50-yard line. He would pray. Joe Kennedy didn't solicit anybody to do this, but the players started gathering around him and praying. Some people began to complain and said it was a separation of church and state issue. And the school district let Joe Kennedy go. It cost him his job. He appealed it. It went through various courts. And June the 27th of this year, it went to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. And the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that it was okay and constitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have prayer, we don't have a prayer. If we don't have prayer, we don't have a prayer. And folks, listen, if you want to impact people, pray for people and let them know that you are praying for them. Let me tell you the fourth thing that Paul did. Paul believed in Timothy. Paul believed in Timothy. Kirby Smart recently walked into a locker room and he looked at his star player and he said, I'm not supposed to let you play since you failed math. But he said, I'm going to ask you one question, and if you can answer it, we need you. You can play this Saturday. He looked at that old boy and he said, here's the question. What is 2 plus 2? And that old boy, he thought, this is Georgia. I mean, he thought. He thought, but I want to report to you, he finally blurted out, 4. Oh, Kirby smiled so big. And as Kirby was smiling, the rest of the football team said, Coach, give him another try. That's a good joke. Now look, I don't know if Kirby believed in that boy, but I know Paul believed in Timothy, because he said in verse 5, he said, Timothy, you've got a genuine faith. He said, Timothy, you've not only got a genuine faith, but in verse 6, he said, Timothy, I want you to know you've got a gift. I wonder how it would impact people's lives if we could look at them and say, I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You've got a gift. There's a gift inside of you. And by the way, there's a gift inside of everybody, ladies and gentlemen. There's a gift inside of you. God has gifted you. What did Paul do? Paul believed in Timothy. Let me tell you the fifth thing that Paul did. Paul had a tough... He had a tough warnings for Timothy. He really did. See, folks, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. He said, Timothy, I know you didn't have a strong male influence in your life, but he said, Timothy, you come up close. He said, Timothy, you need to get over your fear. Because he said in 2 Timothy 1:7, Timothy, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He said, Timothy, that fear will keep you from being everything you ought to be for God. And by the way, folks, fear will keep you from being everything you ought to be for God. And he said, Timothy, while we're having this tough conversation, I want to jump down to verse 8. And he said, Timothy, I want you to know something. You need to not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to not be ashamed of Jesus. You need to not be ashamed of Jesus, and you need to not be ashamed of me. You need to decide whose side you're on. You need to decide whose side you're on. You can't go back and forth, Timothy. It's time for you to take a stand. And he said, by the way, Timothy, while we're having this tough conversation, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, he said, Timothy, you better flee these youthful lusts. Y'all were enjoying it up to now. He said, Timothy, you better flee those youthful lusts. Those youthful lusts, Timothy, will destroy you. If you're not awful careful, that lust in your life, if he'd been speaking today, he'd said, Timothy, you better quit looking at those pornographic sites. Timothy, you better have accountability on your phone, Timothy. Timothy, you better be careful. You better be careful because, look here, folks. Here's what lust will do. I'm not trying to, I don't know why I'm going here, but look, but it feels good. Look, here's what lust will do. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. What lust will do, it will kill things in your life. No. Lust, will you say, well, my relationship with my wife's not what it ought to be. I'll tell you why. Because you've let the lust kill it. You've let the lust kill it. And the lust, all the says, don't sit on me when I'm preaching good. You've let the lust kill it. You better flee it. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Benny, let me tell you something. I was tempted. Let me tell you what, I'm such a man of God. I just got down on my knees and I said, oh, God, give me your power. I'm tempted right now. No. You know what the Bible says? It says, flee youthful lust. What does that mean? That means when you're in a situation and it's very tempting, don't worry about getting down on your knees. Just start doing this. Am I preaching the Bible? Am I preaching the Bible? You better run. You better get away from it. It'll pull you down. You see, oh, I tell you what, I'm out on a date. No. When Savannah Abigail was dating, I mean, I'm just being honest. When Savannah Abigail was dating, I said, baby, I'd really like for you to take your Bible. Daddy, I'd really like for you to take your Bible. Why, Daddy, you want me to do that? I said, you just put your Bible between you and him, and if he can crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't need to be out with him, no way. Amen? Listen, I've lived it, folks. I've lived it. I've seen it. Let me tell you something. I'm just being real. I don't know why I'm on this road, but I guess I'm just on it. Barbara and I used to go out and I'd say, let's go somewhere where we can talk. I was there at one time. I had no more talking on my mind than anything. Where did you go talk, Pastor? Every time. I always went to the same place. Where was it? No. A churchyard. God bear me record. Man, you'd been a boring date. Well, listen, a churchyard. Because I wanted that reminder. I wanted that reminder. You said, but Benny, I got out to the night with him. And Pastor Benny. His Dracar. Let me tell you something. And by the way, the back seat of a car is a very compromising place, amen? Well, we just got out and we had a few drinks. This is all I'm going to say on that. I've never known anybody's morals to go up when alcohol went in. Pastor, I got out and we just, his Dracar. Look here, young lady, you listen close. That Dracar and that baby diaper smell a whole lot different. Hey, man. He said, while we're having this tough conversation, he said, let me tell you something else. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, 16, verse 23, he said, avoid these useless arguments. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I want to call Pastor Benny. I want to debate the scripture. I won't be calling you back. I'm not here for useless arguments. I'm not here for useless arguments. I'm here about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and the tenets of the Word of God. And he said, Timothy, while we're having a real firm conversation, he said, I also want to remind you, Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, I didn't say money's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not wrong to possess things, but it's wrong when things possess you. I wish I had another 15, 20, 30 minutes to preach. I really do. I need an hour on this message. But you're only one. Okay, come on. Okay. There's a sixth thing I want you to see. Paul encouraged Timothy. Paul, I love what he said in that verse. But thou, Timothy was a young boy. But he said, you're a man of God. You're a man of God. He called those things that are not as if they were. You're a man of God. He saw in him what he could become. You're a man of God. Some people don't know how to encourage. They don't know how to do it. But you know, you ought to learn how to do it. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily. You ought to learn how to do it. You ought to learn that words created this world and words create people's world. Your words are powerful. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Lady got on a bus one day carrying her baby. As she was getting on the bus driver said, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen. She went to the back of the bus. I mean, she was vehement. She was upset. She was angry. She sat down beside a man she didn't know. And she said, that bus driver's greatly offended me. She said, I'm a good mind right now just to walk up there and give him a piece of my mind. She said, well, he said, well, you should. And said, if you want to do it, I'll hold your monkey. Some people don't know how to encourage. Amen? I'm done. Point number 7. Paul's actions were louder than his words. Paul's actions were louder than his words. I want to stay with football for just a few minutes and I'll get back to my final story. I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. Always remember, wise men follow the star. I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. Roger Staubach was my guy. A while back, I got a call just a few weeks ago, and they said, Brother Benny, you want to meet one of your childhood heroes? I said, yes. They said, have you ever met Tony Dorsett? And I said, no, but I'd like to. They said, come to this place, and I went to this place and met Tony Dorsett. And he wanted to take a photo, so we did. And I said to Tony, Tony, what was it like playing for Tom Landry? He said, well, let me share something. He said, you know, Coach Landry was a devout Christian, but he didn't say much. But said, when it came time for football, he would have conversations with his players. And Coach Landry would say, how's your home life? And he said, Brother Benny, many times Coach Landry sent me home because he said, Tony, go home, work on your relationship with your wife, because you won't be any good for me on this football field if your relationship's not right with your wife. You won't be any good for me. And he said, you know, Benny, Coach Landry didn't say much, but his actions were louder than his words. I believe in the church today, we've got too much talky-talky and not enough walky-walky. Paul said, Timothy, I just want to show you that it's real. They said, Paul, they're going to be beheading you in just a few moments. He said, Timothy, they'll be cutting my head off in just a few moments. And Paul said, Timothy, I just want to tell you something before they take my life. He said, for I'm now ready to be offered up. Brother Don, we think about them old songs. We used to sing that song, Brother Don. You and I are old enough to remember it. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Every time they'd sing it, I'd say, Brother, we better not be getting ready. We better be ready. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. And he said, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. What was he saying? His actions were louder than his words. You want to make a difference in people's lives? Let your actions be louder than your words. Let your actions be louder than your words. You want to coach people? You want to mentor people? You want to disciple people? Let your actions be louder than your words. We need the church simply to be the church. The world's going to be the world, but we just want to make sure we're the church, amen? We just want to make sure we're salt and light, and our actions should always be louder than our words. This is what I believe, folks. This is what I believe that God's called me to do, and I believe he's called you to do it too. I wrap this sermon up. I wrap this sermon up. I'm going to preach next week on this series, but I wrap this sermon up with this verse. He said, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, you be sure, Timothy, you teach them. Because I want you to teach them to men who are able to turn around and teach them to other men. Look here. Who are you coaching? Who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who's pouring into your life? Whose life are you pouring into? Because it's biblical, ladies and gentlemen, for us to do it. It's biblical for us to do it because coaching really does matter.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.